This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662. Or tryzonanow.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, it is time for our weekly Q&A with Layla. It's an opportunity for you to sort of eavesdrop on our conversation because it's very natural. We field questions and sometimes we riff on questions. And, you know, so hopefully you'll gain the vantage point of an experienced MD and an experienced registered dietitian with a master's degree in the field of nutrition. That's what our weekly Q&A with Layla's all about. It's also an opportunity for you to gain additional access to us via an email, radioprogram@AOL.com, gets your questions to us, and we will endeavor to answer them as expeditiously as possible. Keep in mind that there is sometimes a little bit of a backlog. It takes a while for us to clear the deck in terms of questions that accumulate over time because we get so many questions. And Layla, just a program note, we just had a record month in the month of August.
We did.
We have the statistics for August, and it's a record month. I think we had 160,000 downloads
wow.
in the month of August alone, which doesn't mean that we have 160,000 listeners, but we have enough listeners that listen, you know, say a listener, you know, takes 10 or on the average 15 downloads per month, maybe less because we have some occasional listeners who just pick a couple of shows, you know, do the math. We've got thousands and thousands of people out there who rely on these podcasts.
Wonderful.
Which is really great.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so this is a record month. And also keep in mind that August tends to be kind of a sluggish month.
Yes.
Because people are vacationing. People are, you know, busy. Family stuff.
People are vacationing and maybe listening to podcasts on vacation.
That could
and
be.
And on the beach.
That could be.
They have time.
That's another theory, is that,
yeah.
you know, is that they're chilling.
In the car.
They're chilling with an episode of Intelligent Medicine. And
cool.
that's good stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, we hope that you've made it through Labor Day and that your biorhythm has been restored here in the month of September as we proceed towards fall. And it's kind of a funny time of the year because it's, you know, people are switching gears. They're getting ready
yeah.
for fall. Kids are going back to school. Kids are going off to college.
The days are getting
busy.
Shorter.
Yeah, yeah. And so people are, you know, shopping for, you know, fall stuff, changing their closets.
Right. I don't know about you, but I feel it in the sunset. Maybe it's because I keep looking at the National Weather Service widget on my tablet at home, and every day it's like, oh, now sunset is at 7:28, whereas a couple of weeks ago, it was 7:39 or
right,
something
right.
like that.
Right, we're getting less
getting
and less small, sunlight.
It's getting shorter.
And for
days.
Those who have seasonal affective disorder, this
yeah.
is its prime time to begin preparations for the darkness, which
yes.
means getting an SAD light and using it in the morning because you're used to seeing sunlight in the morning. And because of daylight savings time, it's going to be dark later and later and later. You're going to go into hibernation mode. And
when are they going to do away with that? Daylight
yeah.
savings time.
It's
terrible for our circadian rhythms. I mean, they've
yeah.
already, it's jet lag twice a year.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something very compelling about having lots of daylight later and later and later in the day, and that's why they do it. But it screws things up this time of year because while you get to have light longer, you also, it's dark pretty late in the morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, some morning commuters who are used to that really early morning commute, they're commuting in the dark, kids are getting on buses in the dark. And it brings up another issue, which is
yeah.
they have an issue called start school later for kids. We've talked
yeah.
about it here on Intelligent Medicine, which is this initiative to get schools to start later because now with all the extracurricular activities and you've got to get the brownie points and the clubs and the athletics, kids go to school really early and they're brain dead. You know, it's known that the circadian rhythm of adolescents is different than that of adults, and they're not that well suited to early morning activities and studying and focusing and concentrating.
They actually need to sleep in a little
bit. But then that's okay because they can take their Adderall or they can take their... They can take some kind of performance-enhancing amphetamine.
Have a cup of coffee.
And do well.
Have a cup of tea.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, all right. So, some seasonal comments. What do we have in terms of our mailbag?
We have an email from Elaine. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Once again, you both are amazing. Thank you, Elaine. My mother-in-law, 87 years old, fairly active, has been through the mill with trying to reach a diagnosis on her intermittent trouble swallowing. She's had an endoscopy. They stretched her Schatzky ring. She's had CTs.
Okay, so pause. Yeah. What's a Schatzky ring? A Schatzky ring is a ring of tissue that is constricted in the esophagus. And so it's a funny kind of name, but what they do is they literally stretch it. They will do an endoscopy, stick a fiber optic tube down there, and at the end of it, they literally have a balloon that they inflate to higher and higher pressures gradually because they don't want to rupture the esophagus.
Yeah.
They want to just gently stretch it so that it allows for the passage of food. This is not an uncommon problem in people as they age.
Okay. Well, Elaine says, from what we can gather between the doctors, the term is spastic esophageal motility disorder.
Right, which is okay, so let's distinguish there. In gastrointestinal disease, there are structural disorders, which means that there's some kind of, you know, blockage. And then there are functional disorders. And functional disorders means that the peristalsis, which is like the worm-like movement downward of the gastrointestinal tract, which starts literally in the throat and goes all the way to the anus, that this is disrupted. And why is it disrupted? Well, in some people, as they age, that signaling system just doesn't work very well.
Would that be neurological?
That is neurological. Yeah. That is absolutely neurological, but it could be in the brain, but it's also, there are a lot of nerves in the gastrointestinal tract. And so that's a challenge to deal with. That is always a challenge to deal with. Sometimes it has to do with the types of foods you eat. Certain foods, you know, as you know, slow gastric emptying, slow motility, like a lot of fat in your stomach will kind of
slow it all down.
But also, it has to do with the nerves. So, how old is this person?
87.
So we don't even have any medical history in terms of the possible other medications that she's on, but there are many medications that impair gastrointestinal motility. Blood pressure medications, psychiatric medications, anti-anxiety medications, even medications that are used for urinary incontinence, which is a common problem in the elderly. They will actually change motility. Motility is also changed by the microbiome. You know, you get disruptions in the microbiome. It changes the way that, you know, your gastric, your digestion proceeds. So it's a challenging problem. Now, so what we sometimes...
Any supplements?
One of the supplements that I like for promoting motility is bitters. Bitters as an herb category tend to be prokinetic. Like, you know, kinetic means motion. And so you want to promote peristalsis. So one of them is Swedish bitters. The other one is something called...
The Agostura?
Iberogast.
Oh, Iberogast,
I-B-E-R-O-G-A-S-T, Iberogast. Which is popular in Europe and used by some doctors here for promoting motility. It's a digestive aid.
Considering her age, do you think she might possibly be low in B12 and that could be a factor?
Definitely a potential factor. You know, is that sometimes, you know, there are vitamin correlates. Low magnesium can sometimes impair peristalsis.
Yes, low magnesium. Ginger is helpful.
Ginger's,
gastric emptying.
Yeah, ginger is that interesting because ginger is somewhat of an antispasmodic, which may be helpful here because spasm may be part of why she's having stuff stuck in her craw. But it's a challenging problem in older people, especially in older people.
Wow.
And there are clinics, and presumably she's been to one, a subsection of GI, you know, gastroenterology, is there are motility specialists, and they work with patients who have terrible constipation, or patients who have difficulty swallowing, or a condition called gastroparesis, which sounds like paralysis. It's like gastroparesis, stomach paralysis. It's stuff sits in the stomach. It does not move.
Yeah.
And that's a tricky kind of problem. In the future of that, I think, is that they'll, you know, just as they have heart pacemakers, they will be able to have, GI pacemakers. But they haven't quite nailed it.
Wow.
It has something to do with the vagus nerve, which is the nerve that controls digestion and controls a lot of things in the body. And so maybe in the future they'll be able to pace your gastrointestinal tract with a pacer to send little subtle signals so that movement occurs.
Yeah.
But they haven't quite nailed it, but I really think that research is proceeding apace on that front. And for some of our patients with terrible problems, we welcome that high-tech intervention.
Absolutely. Yeah, Elaine says she can eat something one day and it'll go down nicely. The next day, something as small as a pill will give her such pain going down.
Right.
She's afraid to eat, which doesn't help her nutrition.
Right.
I imagine swallowing, you know, moist food, soup, stews, pureed, blenderized might be better than...
Well, this is obviously a threat to, you know, longevity, is that, you know, why don't people live to be, you know, 150? You know, it could be, you know, some of it's their hearts give out, sometimes their brains give out, sometimes their legs give out. But one of the things that does give out and tends to decrease in efficiency is digestion and absorption of nutrients. And when that happens, the body, you know, tends to weaken and you develop frailty.
Yeah.
You know, just because you simply cannot assimilate the nutrients that you need anymore.
Yeah.
And that's an issue. It starts with teeth. It's, you know, even that's an issue.
Yeah.
And that's why sometimes what they do, and this is controversial, they sometimes give people who are failing in that regard, you know, tubes. They, you know, enteral feeding. But sometimes that to me is life prolongation without a point. You know, is that if you need that, you know, what's your quality of life if you're so feeble that you can't eat? I mean, there's some circumstances where people are quite functional.
Yeah.
They get a feeding tube,
yes,
and that provides them the nutrition they need to sustain life. It's literally inserted into the stomach.
Into the stomach, yeah. So that could be something. Elaine, I'm sure your mother-in-law's had a swallow evaluation, and that would probably let you know if that would be the next thing to do.
Yeah, I mean,
not.
Hopefully not, but it's that's in if all else fails, that's
if all else
an option.
Fails, yeah. Thank you for your very thoughtful question, Elaine, and best of luck to your mother-in-law.
And then, you know, from a nutritional standpoint, let's say she does have problems swallowing. What kind of concoction would you devise for a patient who has trouble swallowing and assimilating that's easily assimilable, will give them calories, but not just a lot of sugar and junk, you know, like you could tell them drink Ensure, right?
Right. No. You know. No Ensure.
Well, what's in it? Why is Ensure bad?
You because know. Of the corn syrup, the sugar and all of that, not to mention any preservatives.
Colorings, agents,
Exactly. I'd rather they take some whey protein, good quality whey protein.
And what might you add to the whey protein? Because that's just protein. You don't want you need the balanced nutrients.
It could be anything like milk. It could be whole milk. It could be almond milk. It could be some kind of nut butter or something, some coconut oil. It depends.
Blended together.
Right. And the thickness
of
the fluid.
How about coconut oil?
Coconut oil, absolutely.
Right.
And it would depend on what they're able to swallow or not. If they need a, something thicker or something thinner or something a little more pureed, that's what a swallow evaluation is.
Would you make a custom formulation for someone like that that enables them to swallow their vitamins, maybe put some liquid vitamins?
Absolutely.
Because swallowing pills is very hard for some people.
It is very hard. And for a lot of people, they could just take the contents of a capsule and put it into their smoothie, blenderize all that, and drink it down.
Right.
Drink it down that's sitting. You don't want it sitting
maybe
there.
Maybe some liquid fish oil.
Yes.
You know, just a little bit, not like a quarter cup, you know, just like a teaspoon or so.
Yeah.
Along with some coconut oil, which is good for brain. It's a medium chain triglyceride.
Absolutely.
Also, I've been exploring, you know, for my athletic training, MCT oil, which is very neutral. It almost has no taste or odor, and it's pure energy
and
very assimilable. And you can you could easily masquerade that, you know, add it to some whey protein and get fat and protein that way.
Right.
That's very easily accessible, that could help build her up.
Absolutely. Great for energy, antimicrobial, all of that stuff. Puts you into lipolysis ketosis because the MCT oil wants to be metabolized first, thereby giving you energy directly via the liver. It's all good.
Okay.
It's all good. Yeah.
So there's some other
dimensions
to this.
There are many things to do, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay, good.
All right.
Next question.
Let's see here. This is from Robin. Are you aware of any apps, software, or websites where one can enter in all the supplements they take with dosages taken, and it will report how much of each vitamin, mineral they're currently taking?
Well, actually we're working on this with Apple. Uh-huh. It's a special app for iPhones mm-hmm. and iPads. It's called Layla. It's called Ask Layla, and you just simply press a button, and Layla comes on with a little automated voice. Like, give us your best automated voice.
Right. Hello, how can I help you today?
There you go. Right, and then, you know, and then you pose your nutritional
Stand
dilemma.
Clear of the closing doors. I'm sorry. I had to bring in the subway.
But pleasant, yeah. You know, pleasant mechanical voice. So the answer is obviously no.
Yeah.
And if there was
yeah.
such a thing, you know, we could retire.
Right.
Right? Because it would render us superfluous.
Yeah.
You know, unless we were the ones to design it, in which case we would, you know, retire with millions of dollars and, you know, just collect checks.
That's a plan.
And checks and royalties, right? You know, it's like, let's create an app. And then,
right.
you know, we'll just harvest the revenue off that app and never have to talk to a real live person again.
Hmm.
So unfortunately, it's complicated.
Yeah, it is.
It is so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so individualized.
And
it's perpetually changing.
It's perpetually changing.
Right.
That's the point I was going to make, is because, you know, the brand can often change their formulations, and that would have to be kept up with that app or software. So that's important too. Robin, maybe you're going to create it.
Right.
So right.
that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll.
And if you find one, please let us know. Please email us. We'd be interested.
Right. And I'll tell you what, if you find one.
Yeah.
You should run, because an app that purports to do that, cannot possibly be very good, because, you know, the expression GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. These, you know, computers are only as good as their programming. And so programming has to be done by, guess who? People, humans.
Right.
And humans are fallible in terms of their knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be some limitations to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also going to be controversy, because nutrition is not a settled science.
Right.
You know, it's,
yeah.
It's one thing, you know, if you ask, you know, Siri, you know, what is the capital of Kazakhstan?
Uh-huh.
You know, Siri will give you the answer, because there's a finite, you know, set
right.
in terms of, you know, logic.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
You know.
So, Robin, keep your spreadsheet going till that's figured out.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your question. All right. We've got an email from Mike. I'm 47-year-old male. I'm 5'11", 185 pounds. I've been on
That's probably a little too much.
Probably.
Unless he's really built like
Unless
a linebacker.
He's strapping or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on a paleo diet for several months now.
Okay.
I'm starting a weight training and yoga routine 3 days a week, first thing in
Great.
The morning before
Great.
Work. My goal is to gain muscle.
Gain.
Not bulk up, but tone.
Oh.
Any recommendations for diet and supplements before and after?
First of all, you know, my first observation was he's a little on the heavy side.
Mm.
But this guy wants to build up, you know, like a lot of men tend to be sort of a little, what we
call.
Not
bulk, but tone.
Bigorexic. You know, they tend to want to, you know, get big and muscular. I don't know what kind of bodybuilding he has, but I'm 5'10" and change. And I just, on a paleo diet with tons of exercise and strength training, I just dropping weight.
Mm-hmm.
Down to 158 from my previous weight, which was pushing 170 and sometimes mm-hmm. over 170. So I would go with the strength and the fitness and not worry about the build
right.
Or the appearance.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, are there, you know, I really don't think it's about, you know, yet they sell so many of these formulas that are like, you know, big vats of protein that are supposed to jump into your muscles and make you big. Pictures of big muscular guys who are probably
right.
on steroids on the label.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way you gain muscle. You gain muscle by, you know, a couple of ways. One, you can take anabolic steroids, but that's not great. You can take creatine, which will somewhat build muscle, but you know, the question is are you going to get a functional gain in terms of muscle strength? Maybe, you know, if you're a bodybuilder.
It could be based on his height and weight that, and a paleo diet isn't necessarily a very low carb diet or anything. Not that that would be indicated for him. But on a paleo diet, it's easy to overdo starchy carbohydrates like sweet potatoes, potatoes, squash.
I have to say that,
I don't know. Maybe he's eating too many carbs for his routine, and maybe if he shuttles that down a little bit, he will have the appearance of more tone.
Right. I don't want to start sounding like Anthony Weiner here, because I'm an older guy, you know, and I don't do like, flash on Facebook. But I got to say that, an observation, not to brag, is that on the paleo diet, there's less subcutaneous fat and I like more, quote, shredded. And, I think I'm upping my activities a little bit.
Yeah.
But in the past, I don't think I got that kind of look, you know, that the six-pack and the muscle definition in the arms that the paleo diet has conferred. And I'm eating a fair amount of carbohydrates. I'm not particularly restricting carbs. For some men, it might be necessary to go to a low-carb diet to get some shred, you know, some to burn some fat and get rid of it. Paleo diet is a good regimen for athletes, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think it's good for, for your physique, and it's good for weight loss mostly. But you can counteract the weight loss with the strength training.
That's right.
You know, because otherwise, if you just sit around and eat a paleo diet, do nothing, you might just lose weight and maybe, you certainly won't gain muscle, hopefully you won't lose much muscle.
Right.
By the way,
it's
interesting that they just did a toe-to-toe comparison of the low-fat diet versus the low-carb diet. And it was reported on the Times by Gina Colada this weekend. I talked about it on my radio show. And what they found is that the low-carb diet was more efficient at weight loss, but both groups lost weight on this diet. Because you're cutting out something. You're cutting out fat in one case.
If you're cutting out fat, you're cutting out a lot of calories there, too.
So but both diets were ad lib. In other words, they were cut out a certain food, but eat as much as you desire.
Right.
So the net result was like double the weight loss with the low-carb diet. But what was interesting is that in the subjects who did the low-fat diet, some of their weight loss was attributable to muscle loss. And in the low-carb diet, there was muscle preservation.
Yes.
There was muscle sparing.
Muscle sparing.
Which is really what you want for athletics.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's right. That is the disadvantage of going on a low-fat diet is you're losing both fat and muscle too.
And I just might say parenthetically, although I don't want to get this guy into trouble with illicit anabolic steroids, but when you are having difficulty maintaining muscle mass, at 47, it's worth checking your testosterone and DHEA.
Yeah.
And it could be that, you're getting that middle-age decline in testosterone and DHEA. DHEA is much easier to replace because you can get it over the counter. Testosterone, you need to go to a doctor and get a prescription. And, that's a little bit, dicier. You need monitoring when you're on testosterone. But, that's another reason why, some people say, I can't seem to get any benefit from my workouts. The possibility is that you're not, kicking out enough anabolic, steroids.
Right. And if he happens to say be on a statin or something.
Yeah,
that's
some other things.
That's also going to lower.
Other factors would be, check for absorption, is he absorbing, properly? Some people, have difficulty with that. But this guy by no means underweight. I mean, it's one thing if he's, I'm 5'11", I'm 135 pounds, I'd say, wow, you are, the prototypical, like a 97-pound weakling that got sand kicked in his face. All right.
Yeah.
So this is a good point at which to pause because we divide these podcasts into two parts. And give us a preview, Layla, of what we're going to tackle in part two.
Those radio claims for weight loss programs, they say you need to balance your hormones. What does that mean?
Oh, great. Okay, we'll tackle that in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman today with Hoffman Center Nutritionist Layla Mutin. We work together on a regular basis, seeing patients at the Hoffman Center, and we work weekly on our weekly Q&A with Layla to answer your listener questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the way to get questions to us, and we'll resume our podcast in just a moment.